Hi, I'm Ashley Eckstein, Ahsoka Tano of Star Wars The Clone Wars and That's So Raven, and you're listening to DW60 with Jeff Davis on Sorcerer Radio.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Be sure to check out WDWDailyNews.com. WDW Daily News provides articles and other information about the Walt Disney Company and more. Be sure to follow them on Twitter at WDWDailyNews, a proud partner of Sorcerer Radio.
For good and a very important sorcerer.
The following is an original production of the Sorcerer Radio Network.
Are you insane?
It's DW60 with Jeff Davis on Sorcerer Radio, srsounds.com.
Welcome to the program. It's episode 10 of DW60's Press Row Podcasts. Glad you're able to stop by and check it out wherever you may be listening. I hope you're having a fantastic day and lots of things to get to as we recap the headlines from the Walt Disney World Resort that you heard this past week during Press Row on DW60 over on Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com. Now, this past week, we covered some upcoming changes, and I think they're better changes for the attraction Star Tours over at Disney's Hollywood Studios. You might find these interesting if you're a really big fan of Star Wars, and then, you know, they've been mixing up the universes as you ride the attraction, get on the simulator, you visit different planets that you shouldn't be visiting in succession, I guess is what I'm saying. I'm confused. You'll hear it during the news portion. Also, Mark Hamill made a surprise visit to a Disney park, excited a lot of people. That was kind of cool. Also, got a review of the latest Star Wars game, Star Wars Battlefront 2, and the controversy that has been surrounding the game even before the release of it. They had a big beta session about a month ago. Everybody loved the game, but then they started finding out other things that was going to cost them more money in what gamers call pay to play. So we'll talk about that as well. Also, finally, email time returns with your questions and opinions on different stuff that we've talked about here on DW60's Press Row Podcast. All right, let's get to the news.
No.
Turn on the news!
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you the top news stories from the Walt Disney World Resort on DW60. This is Press Row.
Time for the headlines from the Walt Disney World Resort. It's DW60's Press Row here on Sorcerer Radio, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and the We Be Geeks Network this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, I bring to you 402 days that Disney World fans have been waiting to hear from the Disney Company as to when we will get a new parade at the Magic Kingdom. Not just any parade, but a nighttime parade. 402 days now since the Main Street Electrical Parade left Walt Disney World, made its way to Disneyland, stayed for a while, and they shut it down completely. And after 402 days, we're still waiting. Well, much like that one time when Johnny Depp decided to take a trip to the Pirates of the Caribbean attraction and surprise everybody by standing there as an animatronic and then surprise people as they go by, somebody else has decided to do the same thing as well. It seems that Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker himself, pulled off the same type of surprise over at Star Tours at Disneyland. People went to get on the attraction. Cast member came in, read a few things, and he said, well, we got like a special guest, and this one is very strong with the Force. And then all of a sudden, Mark Hamill walks into the simulator, and all the people on the attraction just lost their minds. I get Johnny Depp. I get the fact that, yes, he's popular. He's Jack Sparrow. He's part of the Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, franchise, saga, whatever you want to call it, universe. But to have an icon like Mark Hamill, show up to ride Star Tours, The Adventures Continue, with you, it's absolutely fantastic. I would lose my mind if that were to happen. So those people out there in Disneyland got a real treat when he decided to show up. Well, last month, Disney did announce that some new scene is coming to Star Tours, and it's coming from The Last Jedi. It's going to be added at both Disney's Hollywood Studios and also Disneyland Park. Now, the Disney Parks blog is giving guests kind of a sneak peek right now, and everything is supposed to debut on November the 17th. What's going to happen during your flight? Your Star Speeder will be caught in the middle of an epic battle as it flies over the new destination of Crait, which is one of the newest planets in the Star Wars film. So this is actually really, really cool. Now, Disney Parks blog also said, and kind of, you know, threw a hint out there, that Crait is not going to be the only new destination this week. They're going to be adding other things. What they're going to add, I don't know. So that is going to be changing with Star Tours. And then when it opens on the 17th, guests at Disney's Hollywood Studios and Disneyland Park will only find characters related to the latest Star Wars trilogy and will likely never see these characters mixed with classic faces and the movies that are coming in the movies now moving forward. So what that means is you're not going to see stuff mixed with episode 4, 5, and 6 mixed with episode 7, in other words. All of the scenes that you're going to see are part of this specific portions of the movies. Like the scenes in episodes 1, 2, and 3 will stick to episodes 1, 2, and 3. And then moving forward, scenes from 7 and 8 will only be part of that trilogy, 7, 8, and the upcoming 9. So they're going to be changing that around a little bit, and I'm kind of happy about that, because some characters just don't need to mix with other portions of the Star Wars universe. Okay, what does it mean exactly? Okay. We got a new opening sequence coming from Crait. It's going to feature characters from episodes 7 and 8. Then what happens, you follow that with the Jakku scene. You get a transmission for BB-8 or some other new character, who knows. And then finally, the new Crait scene featuring the planet from The Last Jedi will come up. Now, down the road, this is what's going to happen. And this is kind of interesting. Guests are actually going to have a choice before getting on the attraction as to the path that they take on the attraction. Kind of like when you go on Mission Space, you have two choices to choose from, green and orange. Two different experiences now. They're going to do the same thing with Star Tours. So one set of simulators will be episodes 1 through 6, and the other set of simulators will be episodes 7 and 8. We don't know when it's going to happen. It's going to happen down the road. Maybe about 6 to 12 months after what's going on the 17th. I like the idea of this. They're not mixing a lot of things. They want to keep each set of movies with each other. So having things 1 through 6 and then 7 and 8, later on 9, I think it's wonderful. I think it's a great idea. I've never gotten to go to Hoth on Star Tours. I've always wanted to do Hoth, and I've never gotten to see it. Maybe now I'll have a better chance choosing the side that covers episodes 1 through 6, because there's a lot of people out there who absolutely love episodes 4, 5, and 6. Some like 1, 2, and 3. It just depends. And some people don't have a big connection with those episodes, and they just like 7 and the upcoming 8, and soon to be 9. So things kind of moving around a little bit, and they're changing things with Star Tours, and I think it's for the best. Also, Disney Parks blog released exciting new details about the upcoming Star Wars Galactic Nights event. It's going to be happening December the 16th this year at Disney's Hollywood Studios. It seems that Warwick Davis is going to be attending the event. Now, you know him from Star Wars universe, of course. Wicket the Ewok in Return of the Jedi. He's had other roles in Star Wars The Force Awakens, The Phantom Menace, Ewok's Battle for Endor. He's also going to have roles in the upcoming Last Jedi movie. and also in Solo, A Star Wars Story. So that is going to be happening. There's also going to be a panel happening at this big event for Galactic Knights. Inside Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. Something you do not want to miss if you're going to this event, because they're going to be giving you some inside stuff when it comes to the building and what's going to be at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. Of course, coming to Disney's Hollywood Studios and Disneyland Park. It's a really good panel that is set up with these guys. And they're going to have a lot of things to say. And if you're interested whatsoever in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, you're going to want to be at this panel. You're going to want to get there early. Because let's be honest, when Galaxy's Edge opens up, things at Hollywood Studios are going to be chaotic. Chaotic. You think Magic Kingdom is the most popular park right now? Wait till Galaxy's Edge opens up. And you're going to see how popular that's going to be for a while. Long while. So if you're going to go to these events, you get to see Warwick Davis. You have the opportunity to go to this panel and learn more about Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. Maybe you'll get to ask a question or two. You never know. They might do something like that. They may not do it, but there's a good chance. Also, attendees of the event will be the first to see the new Star Wars The Last Jedi editions that will be added to Star Wars Launch Bay, Star Wars Path of the Jedi, and Star Wars A Galactic Spectacular. That's a pretty good deal. Pretty good deal. All right, we got a little more to get to on Press Row coming up, and we also have emails. Don't go anywhere.
It's the holiday season, and Trader Sam's Coffee Company has your gift-giving covered. The happiest brew that ever sailed is our seasonal winter roast, a peppermint mocha coffee perfect for enjoying or sharing in the spirit of the season. Trader Sam's Coffee even offers a holiday gift set. The gift set includes a 5-pack of our most popular flavored coffees, along with our winter edition adventurer's mug, all in a beautiful red gift box. Just click, order, and ship to your favorite coffee lover or Disney fan. Our small batch roasted coffees are certified gluten and allergen free. Trader Sam's Coffee Company is the pioneer of the themed coffee experience. There truly is an adventure in every cup. So start your adventure today by visiting us at TraderSamsCoffee.com. And Sorcerer Radio listeners, be sure to take advantage of this exclusive offer and save 20% on your first purchase with code SR20. That's SR20 at TraderSamsCoffee.com. Brew your happy place.
Ready for some fun in the Disney parks? Don't forget your Sorcerer Radio gear. The Sorcerer Radio Shop has everything you need to show your SR pride in the parks. Pins, shirts, hats, and more. Before you begin your vacation, stop by the Sorcerer Radio Shop at srsounds.com/shop.
Missing the scents of Disney? Three Cheeky Chicks Wax Company offers an array of Disney-inspired scents in their home fragrance line. Wax melts, scented candles, and room sprays to bring the scents of Disney to your home. Visit their website, www.magicallyscented.com.
Do you have a Disney-related business or product and would like help getting the word out? Become a sponsor of Sorcerer Radio today. For more information, please contact our business office via email at sponsors@srsounds.com.
Hey, come on, everybody.
Gets me energized for the day.
Jeff Davis and DW60.
It reduces the road rage that I have inside of me, that's for sure.
SRSounds.com.
Well, for those who really know me, know that I love Star Wars. I'm a big fan of the Star Wars universe. I'm a big fan of all the episodes. I'm not just partial to 4, 5, and 6. I like 1, 2, and 3, and I like 7. I know I'm going to like it. Love Star Wars. And if you know me pretty well, you know that I'm a gamer as well. I love video games. I've loved video games since I had the original Atari years ago. And back in 2015, a really great game came out called Star Wars Battlefront. Loved it. So now upon us is Star Wars Battlefront 2. And 2 years have passed since DICE and Electronic Arts rebooted the Star Wars Battlefront franchise. And literally recreating the Star Wars biggest battles on modern consoles and also PCs. Now, I spent some time with Star Wars Battlefront 2 the last couple of days. And one thing is absolutely clear to me. This is the game that EA probably should have released back in 2015. Now, this review is for all of you parents out there that are looking to pick up Star Wars Battlefront 2 for your kids, or for you parents out there, if you want the game yourself, this is for you. So I'll just tell you this now. Battlefront 2 is an improvement, really, on DICE's first attempt in pretty much every single way. Now, where the first Battlefront was kind of a letdown in so many areas, like there was no campaign, there was a short list of multiplayer modes. They have done pretty well listening to those who play the game regularly, the gaming community, for Battlefront 2. But, I mean, it doesn't mean that it definitely doesn't have its downfalls. But, I mean, we'll get to that in just a minute, okay? So, in addition to just providing more Battlefront, per se, in the sequel, what DICE has done is they've worked on some of the top-level aspects of the game to make it more strategic, make it smarter. Right now, what you can do, which makes things so much easier, players can pick classes, not only to reflect your playstyle, but also what happens is you complement your other teammates, and you make working together more important than ever. Now, though DICE has expanded on the original Battlefront, the game, it's very similar to its predecessor in some way. I mean, it still brings the Star Wars universe to life better than any other video game to date. It's awesome. But sometimes, I mean, the gameplay can still feel a little frustrating at times, I guess. I mean, trust me, it is not perfect. But Battlefront 2 is a fun return to the Star Wars universe that's driven as much by its fans as it is by its gameplay, really. Now, responding to critics of the first Battlefront, Battlefront 2 makes its mark on the series. Or could you say the Star Wars lore, in a way, I guess. You got a new story. A new story-driven single-player campaign. And this is what's interesting about the campaign, because we didn't have this last time. It picks up at the end of Return of the Jedi. And the Battlefront 2 story follows an Imperial Special Forces unit that is called Inferno Squad. Directly after the aftermath of the destruction of the second Death Star, as you know, the Empire kind of struggles to come back from what the Rebels did to them. And they want to maintain their grip on the galaxy, really. Now, I don't want to give away too much on the review, but for me, there are times like I feel like I'm actually watching another Star Wars movie spinoff, like Rogue One, or the upcoming film Solo. That's kind of what it feels like. And the storytelling in the campaign mixes very well with the actual gameplay that you'll go through. And again, without giving away too much when it comes to this campaign, and for those of you who are about to play it tomorrow, because it does come out tomorrow, it has some nice surprises along the way. But I can't tell you. Some of you may have gotten the deluxe version of the game and you're already playing because it came out 3 days early. For everybody else, it comes out tomorrow. Now, like past Battlefront games, Battlefront 2's primary draw is really the multiplayer experience. I mean, not just putting players into the Star Wars universe, but I mean, kind of replicating the size and the scope of some of those epic battles that you've seen in past Star Wars movies. As a whole, I mean, both the campaign and the multiplayer, they've done again what they did in the original Battlefront game. And really what that is the attention to detail. with the Star Wars universe. I mean, they perfectly captured the sights and sounds of Star Wars with everything, from the guns to the ships to the costumes, all that stuff. I mean, to me, the next best thing for this game would be to be available in, like, a VR format. That would really be something. Of course, they already do have a Star Wars VR type game. But something like this with VR, oh, I'd love it. Now, the game's main multiplayer mode, Galactic Assault, splits two teams of 20 into Rebel and Empire camps so they can square off against, you know, famous Star Wars locations like Tatooine and Hoth. It kind of makes you feel like you're a soldier running through one of the biggest battles from the Star Wars films. That's how it feels. There's explosions and stuff going on all over the place around you. It can be a little bit overwhelming. You got starfighters going through the sky overhead. I mean, they really nail the experience when it comes to Battlefront 2, when it comes to multiplayer. Then you've also got Starfighter Assault. It's an objective-based game type where every player controls a space fighter, like an X-Wing or a TIE fighter. And flying the ships is a big part of Battlefront 2, like it was in the original Battlefront. And the experience is like taking part in awesome Star Wars-like moments and being lost in the confusion of the game size. That's what it is, because it's very overwhelming again. The attention to detail with the X-Wings and the TIE Fighters and some of the other ships from the different Star Wars films implemented into this, the attention to detail is amazing. But there are some downfalls. I am going to talk about that real quick. When it comes to the downfall of everything, Star Cards is what the problem is. And it's what some of us like to call pay to win. Battlefront 2 adds one additional irritation, literally, to the multiplayer format. Like the previous game, there's a player progression in multiplayer that allows you to unlock new guns, special classes, star cards, and allows you to modify the multiplayer class loadouts. And you can customize your soldier for your playstyle, really. Now, this time, that progression is largely driven based on in-game loot crates, which you can purchase with either multiple in-game currencies, Republic credits, that's what I like to call it, some of which you earn by playing and others purchasing with real money. Real money that you can get these credits for, okay? Now, the player progression in Battlefront 2 isn't exactly clear in any way, shape, or form right now. I mean, there are three different currencies to choose from. You'll either earn by playing matches or by completing milestones, such as, you know, killing 40, 50 enemies with a blaster. Milestones are the best way to earn your Republic credits. And in-game currency you also rack up as you complete matches, which can be spent on loot crates or unlocking new powerful heroes such as Darth Maul, Princess Leia, Luke Skywalker. You might also get crafting parts for completing milestones or by purchasing loot crates, which is a separate currency used to buy star cards. I mean, the system is really confusing and irritating as it sounds. It really is. You do get Republic credits as you go through the game, but it varies. Whether you do good or bad, the amount varies. Now, when we say pay to play, we're talking about people who can go in, pay an extra $90-something dollars, $89, $90, $100, and get all of these extra credits so that they can buy loot crates so they can make their character more powerful. And they can do this from day one when they pick up the game. So automatically, that person gets all these credits. They're opening up like 40 or 50 crates and getting all this stuff. So, for those of you who don't do that, you can still get all these great heroes, but you're going to be grinding a lot. You're going to be playing the game a lot to get all these credits. You're still going to, you know, shoot people, make your kills and everything else, but you're not going to be on the same level those other people who have paid $100+ to make their character better. Now, for those parents out there with children, this could be very frustrating for them. Why can't I do this? Why kids get a little frustrated with games? I get that. It's a very interesting system, and a lot of people were not happy about it whatsoever. They voiced their opinion after the beta went down, and DICE and EA are in the process of making changes to it to make it a little more fair, to where you earn more credits so you can buy those loot crates if you don't want to spend $100. I get it. I understand. Big time blowback when it came to that. So, all in all, is this game for you if you're a Star Wars fan? I think it is. Aside from the loot crate situation where you can level up your character, the gameplay is fluid. It's nice. It sounds good. If anything, just buy the regular version. Don't get the deluxe version. And just, you know, I don't know. Maybe wait for it to go on sale if you're kind of 50-50 on it. I absolutely love the game. You know, the loot crate system with all these credits does not bother me. I'm just there for the Star Wars fun. That's why I'm playing the game, because I love Star Wars so much. So whether or not it's for you is something to really think about. Watch YouTube videos, read articles, stuff like that. Get to know the game before you actually pick it up. Because this Star Wars game is a lot of fun, but can be frustrating because you have those other people out there who are going to spend $100, $200 to make their character better than yours. Can be very frustrating, okay? So please understand that. When you get the game tomorrow and you start playing, there are people out there that have already been playing for 3 days. So it's going to be a little frustrating. Same thing for kids at Christmas. When you get new games, Call of Duty or whatever else it may be, the people out there have been playing it longer than you. So please understand that. Okay, so here are my official ratings for Star Wars Battlefront 2. For the campaign itself, I give it... Now, this is out of a 5-star rating, okay? For the campaign, I'd give it a 3.5. Not quite a quarter of the way through the campaign for me right now, but it still intrigues me, so I give it a 3.5. On the multiplayer aspect, just the multiplayer game itself, I give it a 4.0. Like with any new game out there, it does have bugs right now, but they will fix those as time goes on. Playability. The controls of what you know, familiar controls and everything. I give that a 3.9. They do have familiar controls with this from the 2015 version, but there is a learning curve when it comes to that. As far as graphics go, I give it a 4.5. Looks beautiful. If anything, play this game on a 4K TV and compatible console, and you will thank me for it if you have it. If not, you're still going to thank me, because the Star Wars universe looks fantastic in this game. For sound, a 4.5. Use headphones, immerse yourself into the Star Wars universe when playing this game. Replay value, how much fun are you going to have as you replay it over and over again? Right now, I give it a 3.0 because of the loot crate system and the Republic credits. They need to be adjusted to make it a little bit easier for those not willing to spend $100 to make their character better. They just want to grind it out, because there were times where certain characters like Luke or Darth Vader and others, they said you'd have to play the game like 40 hours to get those characters. So they're going to adjust that to make it a little bit easier for you guys. So just want to let you know about that. So that's just a little review for Star Wars Battlefront 2 for those of you interested in getting the game for yourself, or whether you're going to get it for your kids.
It's email time.
It's email time. Hey, everybody, it's email time.
Grab that from the old Character Breakfast podcast jingle. That was DJ Sorcy, Imagine and Pluto. I haven't heard that in a while. But I figured, you know what? Why does it have to go away? I might as well bring it on the show here. So, email time here on DW60's Press Row. All right. So, first email comes from Jessica. Said, "Hi, Jeff. Love the show. And I just wanted to say that I hope Disney doesn't decide to wait to reopen the Hall of Presidents. I feel like it's such an important part of the Disney legacy, since the Abraham Lincoln animatronic was built by Disney for a World's Fair. It would be terrible to see this tradition fall by the wayside. My husband and I are both historians, and it's one of our favorite attractions. It's Disney history and American history, and whether people like it or not, we can't revise history to make it suit our feelings at the moment." Thanks for your comment, Jessica. I kind of agree with her on this. Every single president is represented. Every president is represented on this attraction. Whether they were great, whether they were bad. Even presidents who were did the worst things in the world and had to leave office. They're in that attraction. So I feel that Disney does need to open it back up. I really do. That was not the only email I got when it came to the Hall of Presidents. Because, you know, I talked about it last week during the show. I asked you guys for your opinions, and this is what I got. Also got an email from Jackie West. She said, I love your show. I do understand that Disney is probably worried about the Hall of Presidents being vandalized. Ooh. But they have two choices. Either open it with all the presidents or close it down. Hire extra security, open it up, and let's move on. Jackie, I agree with you when you talk about let's move on. I do think they need to go ahead and open it up. What I don't think is going to happen, though, I don't think it's going to get so bad to where Disney fans are going to vandalize this attraction. I really don't think that's going to happen. Okay, let me take that back. I really hope that that is not going to happen. I mean, for Disney fans to go and vandalize an attraction, that is really extreme. Just because they don't like the current president that may be in it. I get the fact that some people don't like Trump. I get it. I understand. But I really hope and pray that Disney fans do not go to the extreme of vandalizing an attraction because of an audio animatronic. I really hope it does not come to that. They may need to put some extra security in place for when the attraction does open. There could be some protesters. We could see that. That's a possibility. But I really hope that it does not come to that, to where, you know, Disney World is on the local news there in Orlando because of all the protesters in front of the Hall of Presidents, a Disney attraction celebrating all presidents. Thanks for your email. Appreciate that. One more. Said, hi, Sorcerer Radio. Let me start off by saying my family loves your show. When trying to find a Disney World radio station, we came up with no luck and found you guys, and we've been listening to you all since. We love the info on all things Disney. This year was actually my first year going to Disney World and seeing Happily Ever After. I'd love the show a lot. So much, I not only bought the official song, but listen to the soundtrack weekly, and every day I miss it. Your show helps cope with that, though. We are also huge Tron fans. And when we found out the news about the Tron ride in Shanghai was finally coming to Disney World, we were absolutely thrilled. But we are trying to find out when they will be breaking ground to plan so we can go on the opening year of it. All of that said, it will be opening by the 50th anniversary, and planning for it can be quite the hassle, so we want to be sure. But we'd love to hear what you have to say about it and any recent news on it. Thanks. Sincerely, a Disney fan. All right. Disney fan. Of course, as we know, this attraction was announced back in July, D23 Expo. Everybody went nuts because everybody was so excited for the possibility of maybe going to Shanghai and checking this attraction out. Everybody's watched it on YouTube or some other Disney-related site. That has happened. And so when the announcement came for Walt Disney World, people were like, oh my gosh! Yeah, it was just that cool. And Disney did say that they were going to have this new Tron attraction open by the 50th anniversary of the Magic Kingdom at Walt Disney World. Going to have it open by then. Since then, we haven't really heard anything. We haven't seen anything. Up until recently, within the last week or so, it appears that early work on the attraction has begun. And I'm going to tell you why. There is a brand new set of construction walls that has appeared right next to, kind of behind, the Tomorrowland Light and Power Company. And in that area, some flags have been placed in the ground to mark wiring, utilities in the ground, who knows what. Now, you want to talk about early, early stages? That is what I would call the early stages. When you start seeing those construction walls go up, then you know progress is on the way. It may be slow moving, but we know that they're starting something. When they're going to break ground, not really sure. Haven't heard anything about breaking ground as of yet. Have not heard anything about the Walt Disney World Railroad having to be rerouted for any reason. Haven't heard anything about that yet. But we are, I think, in some form or fashion getting close. No exact dates, no exact opening dates for the attraction has been released or even stated by Disney. But like they said at the D23 Expo, we are confident, and I think they're pretty sure that this attraction is going to open by the 50th anniversary for Walt Disney World. So does that mean 2021? It's a possibility. Does it mean it could open alongside Star Wars Galaxy's Edge? I doubt it. Maybe 2020, you could see some soft openings. Who knows? But by the time they start that celebration for the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World, I'm sure we will have the Tron Light Cycle attraction open over the Magic Kingdom. And those are your headlines, emails, and a review here on Press Row.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
Sorcerer Radio, srsounds.com.
Well, since DW60's Press Row aired this past Thursday, we've had an update on the game from EA and DICE, Star Wars Battlefront 2, on the loot crate system that I talked about during Press Row, where you have to go and you have to pay a certain amount of money for a certain amount of Republic credits and everything, all the controversy that surrounded that. Well, an update came out just a couple of hours before the game went worldwide this past Friday. And they made a statement that I want to read to you guys real quick. It said the following: thank you to everyone in our community for being the passionate fans that you are. Our goal has always been to create the best possible game for all of you, devoted Star Wars fans and game players alike. We've also had an ongoing commitment to constantly listen, tune, and evolve the experience as it grows. You've seen this with both the major adjustments and polish we've made over the past several weeks. But as we approach the worldwide launch, it's clear that many of you feel there are still some challenges in the design. We've heard the concerns about potentially giving players unfair advantages. And we've heard that this is overshadowing an otherwise great game. This was never our intention. Sorry we didn't get this right. We hear you loud and clear, so we're turning off all in-game purchases. We will now spend more time listening, adjusting, and balancing and tuning. This means that the option to purchase crystals in the game is now offline, and all progression will be earned through gameplay. The ability to purchase crystals in-game will become available at a later date, only after we've made changes to the game. We'll share more details as we work through this. We have created a game that is built on your input and will continue to evolve and grow. Star Wars Battlefront 2 is 3 times the size of the previous game, bringing to life a brand new Star Wars story, space battles, epic new Disney multiplayer experiences across all 3 Star Wars eras. With more free content to come, we want you to enjoy it, so please keep your thoughts coming, and we'll keep you updated on our progress. Interesting. So, no longer can you buy those crystals. No longer can you get those Republic credits and open up like 40 loot crates in order to better your player in the Star Wars Battlefront 2 experience. Multiplayer, in any aspect whatsoever. Completely and totally gone. As you may have noticed, they said the ability to purchase crystals will become available at a later date. Why did DICE and EA decide to do this? I think it's a couple of reasons. One, I think they were really pressured by the gaming community, those who really enjoyed Star Wars Battlefront as a whole, and felt that what they were doing was just unfair. And let's be honest, the form of purchasing that they wanted you to do was a chance. In my opinion, it was gambling. You're paying a certain amount of money to get certain things, a chance that you might get certain things. So in essence, it's gambling. There's even a few countries in the world right now that are investigating this game because they feel that what EA was doing was considered gambling. And if they deemed it not right and not allowed in their country, they would ask EA and DICE to remove the game from their shelves. I don't think that DICE and EA wanted that to happen. Also, I think that DICE and EA were pressured heavily by Disney. And here's the reason why. Disney owns Lucasfilm, okay? And with the upcoming Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi, coming out in just under a month, December 15th, I think Disney said to these guys, look, you're putting a real tarnish on the Star Wars name right now as we are about to release a brand new movie that is obviously going to be huge. It's going to be epic. It's probably going to break all kinds of records and everything else. And Disney probably said to him, you need to remove this purchasing portion of your game from it. It needs to go away. You need to fix the problem, resolve the problem, or modify the problem in some form or fashion. So, thank you for the station alert. I appreciate that. So, what I did was I logged on to the game just maybe 2 or 3 hours after this announcement had been made by EA. And I looked and saw it was not available. You cannot purchase anything in the game right now. Completely and totally gone. So, I think it's a good thing. If you're on the rails about picking up this game now, I wouldn't worry too much. I think you should give it a chance. Grind it out. If you want that, you know, your specific character to be powerful and you want to be in that top 5 or top 10 results at the end of a game during the multiplayer, you know, then grind it out. Spend the time, play it, upgrade your character, and have a good time with it. But I think with Disney, you know, and the movie coming out and sale on toys and all this other stuff going on, Disney had a major problem with the backlash. Even CNN Tech had this story on their front page on their website for the tech section. CNN and others as well have been talking about this on mainstream news and on TV and stuff like that. So it is a real growing concern. So I'm glad that DICE and EA decided to do that. Hopefully they will come back with a different type of system that's a little more fair to those who can't spend $100, $200, $50, stuff like that. You're already paying $60 for the game, let's be honest. So how much more do you really need to spend? It was nice to see them say that new free content will be available soon. I think probably a month or so after Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi comes out, you'll see some DLC available for Star Wars Battlefront 2 that maybe ties in with Episode 8. So hopefully we'll see that pretty soon. Well, that's all the news that I've got for this week. I want to thank you for stopping by and checking out DW60's Press Row podcast. Now, with Thanksgiving coming up this next week, I will not be doing a show on Sorcerer Radio. So, of course, that means there will be no podcast next week as well. I'm going to be gone with family, spending some time and doing some Black Friday shopping. So for those of you who are looking for the next podcast, it will be in 2 weeks, the week after Thanksgiving, stuff like that. So I hope all of you out there celebrating Thanksgiving have a wonderful and safe Thanksgiving. If you're flying, if you're driving, if you're on a boat, wherever you may be and, you know, however you may be getting there, I hope you stay safe and enjoy all the fantastic food. Enjoy all of the Black Friday shopping. I know a lot of people are going to be out doing that, so lots of people rushing to get to different locations to get all the great deals, everything. So please be careful. Be careful out there when you're doing your shopping for the holiday season. I will see you in 2 weeks. Thanks again for stopping by, and have a magical day.
Transmission commencing.
This is Wookiee Radio.
Translated for the Wookiee apparently.
I like that Wookiee.
Your hosts, Ken, Derek, and Mike, bring you the latest news and commentary from the far reaches of the galaxy.
Hold it. I said hold it.
Subscribe today on iTunes and Stitcher.
I just assumed he's a Wookiee.
Start listening today, and remember,
the Force will be with you, always.
Forgive the interruption, but I believe this requires your attention.
If you ever believed Captain America was on the U.S. Olympic soccer team.
If you ever thought that the Winter Soldier was that brace yourselves guy on the internet.
And if you ever wondered just what would a raccoon do with a machine gun.
Then don't let another week pass you by without tuning into
Mighty Marvel Geeks.
Mighty Marvel Geeks is your show about all things Marvel.
With news, rumors, commentary, and interviews.
As well as our weekly recommendations on what to pick up on New Comic Book Day.
Official consulting hours are between 8 and 5 every other Thursday.
That's Mighty Marvel Geeks on WeebieGeeks.net, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
Hi, this is Sorcerer, thanking you, the listeners, for your continued support of Sorcerer Radio, a station committed to bringing the best Disney programming in keeping with Walt Disney's vision, a station where children and parents can have fun listening together and also transporting you back to that favorite place that you all love so much, Walt Disney World. Thanks again for listening. Have a magical day.
Sorcerer Radio.
I would really like to...
Wait a minute. Come in. Is that how you're going to start?
Well, yeah. Is there a problem?
Is there a problem? Yeah. Way too much talka-talka, not enough waka-waka.
All Disney music.
Waka-waka-waka.
All day long.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
SRSounds.com.